Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Just ask him. What's the worst that could happen?
Hey, Jeff. I was wondering if you'd like to go to church with us sometime.
Code red, get the kids in the car, just like we practiced, honey.
Yeah, work, listen, not coming in Monday. Neighbor just asked me to go to church. We're skipping town.
Hey, Jeff.
Oh, hey, man, what's going on?
Hey, I was wondering if you'd like to join us for church on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Cool, man.
Have you ever had a time when you were uninvited and it led you to feel unwanted, undesirable? When I was in first grade, I was pretty popular, no surprise. But the shocker is, I was not the most popular boy in my class. His name was Tommy Gardner. Why was Tommy Gardner more popular than me? I don't know. I assume the girls thought he could supply them with vegetables and flowers, Tommy Gardner. There was this girl in our class named Amy, and for her birthday, Amy had a sleepover party. She invited all the girls and Tommy Gardner. He came over to me, are you invited to Amy's sleepover party? No. Are you invited to Amy's sleepover party? Tommy smiled, yes. Now, at this point, you have to ask, what kind of girl invites a boy to a sleepover party? I don't know. It certainly makes you wonder about her character and moral purity. But she did. She invited him. And Tommy accepted the invitation. What kind of boy would want to go to a girl sleepover? I don't know. But I wanted to go too, but I couldn't because I was uninvited. Have you ever had a time when you felt uninvited? Maybe it led you to feel unwanted, undesirable. And there are so many people who feel that way when it comes to God. They feel uninvited. But no, with God, everyone's invited. In fact, we're just a few weeks out from Christmas, and that's what Christmas is all about. On Christmas, we celebrate Jesus coming, and that's why Jesus came, to invite everyone into relationship with God. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. People don't realize it, but God is inviting them. And I think for people to know God is inviting them, we need to invite them. That's some of what we're going to think about in our new series, Just Ask. The truth is, invitations are powerful. And the most powerful invitation is a person receiving a spiritual invitation, like an invitation to church. Because that invitation to church can help someone understand that they have an invitation from God. To give you an idea of how powerful invitations can be, I want you to hear the story of Carolyn, and you'll see how an invitation to church changed her life and led her to become an inviter.
Hello. My name is Carolyn Ruppe, and I was invited to Verve about 4 years ago. My best friend invited me, and she said, hey, do you want to come to church? And I was like, sure. And it was that easy. I remember thinking like, huh, church. I haven't thought about that in a really long time. And I agreed to go, and when I showed up, I realized, oh wow, this is what I needed. I had been missing this in my life for about 17 years. Being invited was very easy, but inviting others really wasn't as easy. There was a lot of fear associated with inviting people from work or in social circles or strangers. It wasn't very easy to bring up church or reveal that part of my life with others. How do you ask someone to come with you or meet you there? What does that look like? And why is it so scary? Verve has always been a really safe place, so I know that inviting people was all right because Verve accepted people from every walk of life and wherever people were. I was invited and I had such a great time and it was exactly what I needed. And so I invited my husband and you know, and then he came and he's been inviting people. There's a lot of fear about being judged when you are vulnerable and open yourself up to invite people to come to church with you. There's also that moment where you're judging others, where you think, oh, they'll never come with me, or, you know, they would never be the type of person that would go to church. And, you know, we cannot say no for people just by not inviting them. You'd be surprised by asking somebody in that right moment, they would say yes. Start by saying, would you like to come to church with me? It really can be that simple. There are really no magic words. You just have to ask. You can start by saying, you know, hello, my name is. Would you like to come to church with me? It can be selfish to keep this gift of God and this home that we call Verve a secret. Church is love and family, and people are seeking something that the church can fulfill. We have to sprinkle it around the community and help grow the church and give people an opportunity to receive the love that God has, or at least come in with their curiosity of what is this all about. Inviting people transforms their lives. It's part of our responsibility as Christians to get excited about inviting people. I was so thankful that she had invited me because I would still be hungry. I would still be seeking what I find here. It can just be a conversation. You know, be your authentic, real self and just ask.
Isn't that awesome? You know, the reality is an invitation can change the whole trajectory of a person's life. I bet for most of you, a spiritual invitation to you or someone in your family totally changed the trajectory of your life. An invitation is so powerful. Our leadership team has really been thinking about and studying the whole concept and power of invitation. We've looked at our church and there are some encouraging signs. Like more than half of the people who come here first showed up because of an invitation. But that number could be higher. In fact, in most churches, it is. And there are still a lot of people in our church who aren't inviting their friends. And I think there are a lot of us who want to, but just aren't sure how. About 70% of the people who come to Verve have little to no church background. And so this is kind of new for a lot of you. And so I think this is a massive growth area for a lot of us. If you're a follower of Jesus, the number one priority of your life is to help people know that God is inviting them into a relationship with Him. And that's just not my opinion. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, then I'm going to give you my mission. Jesus gave His followers a mission. The mission is to share God's love. And Jesus says, for His followers, that's the key thing. The number one priority in the life of a Christ follower is to help people know that God is inviting them into a relationship with Him. To follow Jesus is to be given a mission, and to have a mission is to be a missionary. And so you are a missionary, and Las Vegas is your mission field. Now, some of you are new to this. Maybe you don't consider yourself a Christ follower yet. You're at Verve today and you're more just investigating, which is awesome. Or maybe you're kind of new to believing and following Jesus. This is new for you and you're still in the process of learning and establishing what your priorities are. But for others of us, we're like, no, I do believe in Jesus. I follow Him. And we know that the mission God has given us is to help others know and follow Jesus. We just don't really do it. It's like there's a gap between what we believe and how we behave. Our behavior doesn't match our belief, so how are we going to address that gap? Well, I think the first thing we need to do is see the problem, right? Like, you can't solve a problem that you don't know is there. So the biggest part of the solution is just seeing the problem. One of the biggest moments of my Christian life was when I realized that I had this problem. I became a Christian when I turned 20, a little into my 20th year of life. And after trying to disprove the Bible, I came to faith in Jesus. It changed my life. And I wanted everyone to know Jesus. And I discovered that Jesus said that was the top priority of my life. And I was like, cool, like that's what I want to do. I want to help everyone know about Jesus and that God is inviting them into a relationship with him. And so I did. I shared my faith. I shared invitations to my church. I saw people meet Jesus and come to believe in him and have their lives changed. And then I went to law school and it was just more of the same. And then I decided I wanted to go into ministry. And so I transferred to seminary. And everyone at seminary was already a Christian, and all my friends were Christians, and I stopped inviting people. Then I did an internship at a big church for a year, and then I started working at a church outside of Washington, D.C., worked there for 2 years, and in those 3 years, I was almost always around Christians, and I wasn't inviting people. And then it happened. It happened at about 1 o'clock in the morning. I was driving. My wife was sleeping in the passenger seat next to me. We were driving to Virginia Beach, Virginia, where we were about to start a new church. I'm driving along, listening to the radio, when a song came on that I had never heard. It was Mr. Jones by the Counting Crows. And I'm listening, and the singer sings these lyrics. He says, "Please help me to believe in something because I don't believe in anything and I want to be someone who believes, who believes, who believes." Yeah, it's not that bad. It's actually kind of how he sounds. And I started thinking about it, like, there's a guy out there who is writing lyrics, singing this song, putting it on the radio, begging someone to give him something to believe in. He's saying, "I don't believe in anything, but I need to believe in something. I need hope. I need love. Help me to find something to believe in." And I realized, like, I was starting to feel sick because, like, my mission was him. It's like to let people know that God loves them and is inviting them and there is something to believe in. And I had not been inviting him. For 3 years, I've been ignoring people like Adam Derwitz. And I realized, oh, I'm really feeling sick. And then I realized, I am going to be sick. And I didn't know what to do. I'm driving down the highway, 65 miles per hour. And so here's what I did. I rolled down the window. Like, this was back before I had, like, the power kind of windows, you know, like this. I rolled down the window and I stuck my head out and I vomited out the window. And what I learned, here's what you want to write down if you're taking notes. I learned that vomit has very little wind resistance. I threw up out the window and it came right back in at me, but it missed me, went right past me. This is a true story. Went across the car and landed, whoosh, all over my sleeping wife. She woke up and screamed, I quote, "What's happening to me?" It was kind of a hysterical moment, but it was also a horrible moment, and it was such an important moment because I realized that it wasn't really my wife who was asleep. I was. I had been sleepwalking through my Christian life the past few years. That vomit was meant for me. It was a holy wake-up call from God. There was a gap between what I believed and how I was behaving, and I had to close the gap. I needed my behavior to match my belief. And it was such an important moment for me because I realized that the first step in solving a problem is seeing the problem. And what a lot of us need to do is see the problem. And maybe, you know, you're struggling with the same problem that I had. And maybe what you need to do is realize that what we need is to have the kind of heart for people that God has. In fact, what we're going to talk about in this series is having the right heart, the right strategy, and the right place. Today, the right heart. And if we're not inviting people, if we have that gap between what we believe and how we're actually living, that's a heart issue. And I think we need to identify what's causing that gap. I've tried to do this for myself and help others to do it. And I think there are some common causes for the gap. Maybe apathy. You know what I mean? Like, we've gotten used to people not having Jesus, so it just doesn't seem like that big a deal. We all have family members and friends who are not connected to Jesus, not close to God. It's kind of normal, and so it feels normal. Like, I remember when I first came to faith, I was sharing my faith, that invitation, with my family members, and I realized it's been years now since I've talked to them or invited them. And maybe you have people in your life, family members, coworkers, neighbors, your kids, friends, parents, who you have not invited in years, or maybe you've never invited, and that's a heart issue. So it may be we're not inviting people like we're supposed to because of apathy. We've gotten used to people not having Jesus. Or it may be fear. Fear can stop us in our tracks, even if we do have good intentions. We worry, what if it's awkward? What if I get laughed at or rejected? We may fear inviting someone in a wrong or ineffective way. Well, in this series, we're going to give you some really practical advice so that you can be more comfortable and overcome those fears. And we're going to learn that we've got to overcome those fears because, and this is just way too important. Another reason we might have this gap, and I've drifted into this myself, is letting the church do my job. Like, the church is supposed to be the one reaching people for Jesus, and they seem like they're pretty good at it. So maybe we stop taking personally Jesus' command that we help people to know him. But Jesus meant for us to take it personally. It's each of our responsibility. God would say, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have a mission and you're a missionary and Las Vegas is your mission field. I'm trying to do better. That's why I'm outside of Black Bear Diner. I've made this one of my little mission field spots, and I have a waitress who I've become friends with. She's an awesome person, and I've invited her 12, 15 times. She's come to Verve 3 times so far. I'm a missionary. You are a missionary. It's your responsibility. And this series is going to help us to do that. We're going to learn how to have the right heart, the right strategy, and the right place. There's a story in the Bible we're going to use to help us. We're going to check it out today and do a really deep dive into it the next 2 weeks. It's a great story. There's a lot to it, a lot we can learn from it. It's in the Bible book called Mark chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon, the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, 4 men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." We're going to jump a few verses and we'll look at the rest of the story in the next few weeks. But starting in verse 11, it says, "Stand up, pick up your mat and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." So there are these 4 guys, and they have a friend who's paralyzed. And they've heard about Jesus, that Jesus might be God come in the flesh, that Jesus can heal people. And they realize they have to get their friend to Jesus. They had the right heart. Now, there are all kinds of obstacles. Their friend can't walk. They have to carry him. Jesus is surrounded by people. They can't get in. They decide to go through the roof. How do you get this guy on a mat up to the roof? And how do you lower him down from the roof? But listen, when you have the right heart, you are going to get your friend to Jesus. And they did. And so as we launch into this new series, I want to ask, who do you need to get to Jesus? Who has God put in your life who is far from him, who really needs him? Now, of course, we love everyone and we care about everyone, but I want to encourage you to choose 3 people. I think choosing 3 people to focus on is going to help you to stay focused on your mission. And so whoever those 3 people are, you know, these are people who God has put into your life and God has put on your heart, and they are three people who you have to get to Jesus. They need to know that God is inviting them, and so we need to invite them. That's exactly what my wife did for Kara. My wife used to work here at Fitness 19, and Kara used to work here. They worked together, and Jen would just be fun with Kara and be kind to Kara, look for opportunities to ask her questions, to really listen, to serve her. And then Jen looked for opportunities to invite Kara to Verve. Wasn't weird. When you invite someone, it doesn't need to be weird. You invite people to other things, right? All the time. You're already good at this. So you just say something like, hey, I go to this great church. I never thought I would go to church, but this is church for people who don't like church. They make it fun. It's relevant to my life. In fact, it's changed my life, changed my kids' lives. You want to come and check it out? How about for Christmas? That's not weird. You can totally do that. Well, Jen invited Kara, and Kara didn't come. So Jen invited her again and again and again. Not being stubborn about it, just making it casual, fun, being creative with her invites. She didn't say the same exact thing every time and make it sound stubborn. So like maybe your second invitation could be, hey, I mentioned my church to you, how I think you'd really like it. We're starting a new series called Hot Mess in January. We're gonna talk about how God loves us despite our mess, can help us out of our mess. Wanna come? You can do that with someone at work or a neighbor you see outside or a person you work out with. Well, Jen kept inviting Kara, and then Kara came. And later she came back, and over time she came to faith. She gave her life to Jesus, and Jesus changed her life. Kara would tell you her life is radically different, radically better. Do you know how cool that is for Kara? And do you know how cool that is for Jen? It's amazing when you invite someone and you get to be a part of their life changing. And you realize it's not just their life that was changed, yours was. You know what happens when you commit to doing this? You feel more connected to God. There's this surge in spiritual growth. You're led to pray more. And you realize it's not just about them, it's also about you. This is part of God's plan for growth for each of us. If you do this, you'll help change people's lives, which is awesome, but your life will change too. And that's also awesome. So I want to challenge you to go on this invitation journey, to have a heart for people who need God, to let that heart for people lead you to reorient your life if necessary, to build relationships with and invite your three. This is actually the best time of year to do that. I mean, even people who are not interested in church are open to going at Christmas. So what if you invite your three for Christmas at Verve? Maybe in the next week or two, you could even choose one of them to have over for dinner, go out to lunch with, just to continue to build that relationship and create an opportunity to invite them. But invite all three of your three for Christmas. How cool would it be if you end up with a story like we heard earlier from Carolyn or like Jen and Kara's? And now, can you imagine what would happen if we all do this? Can you imagine the people who will be freed from addictions, the marriages that will be saved, the young people who will have the trajectory of their lives changed, all because we invited them? Wouldn't that be incredible? Maybe you're thinking, man, I'm not sure about this. I'm just so new to this. I'm not into the idea of inviting people so they can know God's inviting them, because I'm not sure God's inviting me. I get that, but he is. He loves you, wants a relationship with you, made you for a relationship with him, and you are invited. I told you how I was uninvited to Amy's first grade sleepover birthday party. She only invited one boy, Tommy Gardner. I wanted to be uninvited. I wanted in. So I wrote Amy a letter, went like this. Dear Amy, heard about your party. I was talking to Tommy. He's glad you invited him, but he's the only boy invited, and that's kind of weird for him, you know, being the only boy since you only invited one boy. Anyway, just wanted you to know. Amy wrote me a note back. It said, okay, you're invited. Yes, never underestimate the power of manipulation, especially on unsuspecting first grade girls with questionable moral character. The good news is you don't need to manipulate God into wanting you. You don't need to convince him that you're acceptable. You don't have to beg him to invite you because you're already invited. All you have to do is realize God is inviting you and say yes. And if you already know that, You need to invite others so they can know. For people to realize that God loves them and is inviting them, we need to invite them. So, who's your three? Invite your three to Christmas.
Hi, I'm Crystal. Christmas is nearly upon us, and we're so excited for Christmas for Vegas, our annual celebration of Christmas here at Verb. You're gonna love it. It's a perfect chance to invite your friends to come experience God's love here at Verb. And we've made it so easy with five identical services on three different days. Our normal Sunday morning service times at 10 and 11:30, Monday night at 7 p.m., and then two services on Tuesday the 24th at 3 and 5 p.m. Not only will there be a great Christmas service, but the entire night will be filled with moments for you and your family to make lasting Christmas memories. Invite your neighbors, invite your friends, and give them a Christmas to remember. I'll see you there.